fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Each year, many preventable injuries and avoidable deaths occur across the state. The Injury Prevention Unit at the Department of Health focuses on developing statewide health promotion strategies and directs funding to priority areas not covered by other agencies. These strategies are addressed by programs delivered by organisations such as Injury Matters, KidSafe WA and the Royal Life Saving Society of WA. Injuries don't just occur by chance, they can be predicted and prevented through a range of coordinated programs and services based on a solid foundation of evidence. Russ Milner from the Injury Prevention Unit is with me to tell us how. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Now, what are the main source of preventable injuries in WA that we're talking about here?
There's a broad range of injuries. Injuries, of course, affect the entire population, from babies all the way through to very older Australians, and they occur in all areas. Yeah. So there's a huge different number of different types of injuries, but the main ones, I guess, that are affecting the West Australian population are things like transport injuries on the roads, suicide and self-harm, poisoning, falls, child injuries, drownings, that sort of stuff. So yeah. There's a huge cross-section that affects people in different ways, shapes and forms.
Okay, you did obviously mention quite a cross-section. I mean, other than child injuries, of course, are there particular injuries that we're seeing across particular demographics in WA?
It depends which way you slice the data,
sure.
Chris. So if you're looking at different population groups, there's a higher degree of injuries in rural and remote regions.
Okay.
We certainly see a higher rate of injuries in Aboriginal populations, and culturally and linguistically diverse populations can be at greater risk as well. If you slice the data by age groups, there's different types of injuries that affect children compared to sort of middle-aged people, and obviously in older populations we see a huge burden from falls and falls-related injuries.
Yeah. Quite a wide range to cater
range.
For then.
Huge range.
We're talking about preventing these injuries.
Indeed.
Can you tell us the part the Department of Health provides in injury prevention? What do you guys actually do to try and help this?
Well, we try and cater to the entire population,
yeah.
So the well population. It's a health promotion strategy that we face. So what we try and do is we set statewide priorities and strategies to address the different injury types that we see which cause the greatest burden. And as you said in your introduction, from our team, we try and fund programs that aren't being funded by other agencies. So earlier in our conversation just now, I've mentioned that two of the leading causes of injury that cause the greatest amount of deaths and burden are things that happen on the road and suicide and self-harm. In the injury prevention team at the Department of Health, we're acutely conscious of the fact that those two particular types of injury are catered to or addressed by other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and look at, well, what are the other major priority areas that aren't being funded and addressed by those other organisations, and we try and invest funds and resources into those. And I guess that leads into the organisations that you mentioned that
yeah.
we do fund, which was Injury Matters and Rural Life Saving Society of Western Australia and KidSafe WA.
So how much of what you do is about educating the public in, I guess, preventing these injuries themselves? And how much is it about, I guess, helping people when they actually do have these injuries?
Well, from our perspective, we're very much the education
sure.
and health promotion. So we're trying to get good, healthy messages out there to the well population and keep them well and prevent the injuries. You know, there's obviously, you know, coming from the Department of Health, we also have a major role to play in dealing with the injuries once
of
that
course.
Happens. So that's
yep.
that's the hospital sector. But my role is largely in the health promotion and the prevention side of things.
Sure. You mentioned a couple of organisations already. Which NGOs are you actually working with right now, and how do you work with those organisations?
We set priorities, so we essentially go to tender and we say, these are the priorities that we've identified. We would like to purchase solutions and programs
okay.
to help address these things.
Based on the data you were talking about?
Based on
yep.
the data and what else is happening in the sector. So
sure.
there's a fairly holistic understanding of what's going on out there. So we identified some key priority areas that we said, you know, which NGOs are out there that can address this. And this is where the partnerships are formed. So they come to us and have great ideas and programs to address it. We help sort of tailor those programs as best we can. We fund them. We work with them in partnership really closely to help deliver the programs out into the community.
Sure. I'm guessing those programs, depending on geographical areas, will obviously have different priorities. You mentioned before that quite a lot of injuries you've seen from your data are kind of happening in rural areas.
Yep.
I'm kind of wondering how much of that is because, you know, they are, people are isolated and maybe not so much that they're more prone to having injuries, but obviously the issue is, you know, getting help once they have those injuries, as opposed to being in a city and being close to a hospital or ambulance.
That's a statewide issue for all different types of health, and certainly is relevant for us in injury prevention. So it's much more important for them to be able to prevent the injuries because the medical attention and help is so much harder to get to.
Sure.
So yeah, our messages are probably what the injury prevention strategies are, right, might remain the same, but getting the messages out to those populations comes with challenges.
Yeah.
And making sure that they adhere to those things is of vital importance to them because, of course, they're so far removed from the health services that can help them once they've had the injury. So prevention is better than the cure, as the old saying goes.
You're listening to Fitter Happier on the Mag, and this week we're discussing injury prevention with Russ Milner from the Injury Prevention Unit. Now, Russ, what advice would you give to young parents to minimise the risk of injury to their children? What sort of things can we do to minimise those risks?
Young parents looking after children, the absolute number one recommendation, and it's an easy one to remember, is active adult supervision.
Yeah.
It seems so simple, but what we find is so many injuries that happen because of the lack of active adult supervision. So keep an eye on your kids, know where they are, be right there with them. Obviously, in the course of daily life, there's times where you sort of have to let kids be kids and depending on their age group, because, you know, there's a huge difference between a newborn baby and a 14-year-old.
Of course, yes.
But knowing who, you know, your age of the kids and what they're doing is hugely important, and you will know, you know, when you need to be right there and hands-on. So one of the programs that we fund is the Keep Watch program, which is delivered by Royal Life Saving Society WA, and that focuses very much on toddler drowning, and it's all about water safety with kids. And again, there's four sort of key pillars to that program, but the number one pillar that is the most important is active adult supervision. Be right there at all times. Give them all of your attention all of the time. Be within arm's reach, and if there's kids around water and you're doing that, the chances of them, you know, drowning or having an issue are greatly, greatly reduced. If it's bath time with the kid and the phone rings, or there's a knock on the door, or you've got something in the oven, or the washing machine ticks off,
sure,
do not leave.
Yeah.
All that stuff can wait.
Yeah.
Active adult supervision all the time. That's the number one tip that we would give. And I mean, I guess I've given you an example there with water safety.
Yeah.
But it applies across the board.
Absolutely. You mentioned basically paying attention there. I'm wondering if there's any correlation between either increase or difference in the types of injuries we're seeing now and an increase in distractions via technology. I'm talking specifically, I guess, about mobile devices here.
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's not one that I can answer with hard statistics and numbers, but common sense would say that anything that diverts your attention from what you should be paying attention to is going to increase your risk of injury. As a practical example, and one that's gotten some attention recently and certainly some countermeasures, is texting and driving.
Yes, I was thinking of that one.
Yeah, but I mean, that's texting and driving, so a car accident is an obvious serious injury, but just simple things like texting and walking. You know, as humans, we haven't evolved with a phone in our hand, and yet, you know, everywhere you go these days, you will see people glued to their phone.
Yeah.
I catch public transport every day, and it's a very different world in public transport now than it was 15 years ago before smartphones, I'm sure. But people are just so used to doing it and incorporating it into their daily life that it's hard to pull them away from that. But if you're responsible for watching a kid in a swimming pool, at a birthday party, if you're responsible for driving a motor vehicle, if you're responsible for walking yourself down the road and knowing where the curbs are, or if there's any, you know, cracks in the pavement, or if there's, you know, cars or cyclists, if your head's in your phone, you're much less likely to be able to be aware of what's going on around you and appropriately prevent an injury that might happen that you could prevent Yeah, had you been paying attention.
I think those cat YouTube videos can probably wait. Now, falls seem to be one of the most prevalent accidents for 15 to 39-year-olds, causing injury with 11,747 in the last 5 years due to falls. Why do you think this injury is so prevalent among young people?
Falls is an obvious thing that can be categorised as causing an injury.
Yep.
For that demographic, for 15 to 39-year-olds, there is countless ways that a fall could happen. If you think about the things that you might have done when you were 15 and the things that you do when you're 39, it's very different. So you experience a whole different, things in life that change.
Sure.
So when you're 15, you might still be climbing trees. You might still be playing sport at school. You might still be running around and you can fall and you can hurt yourself. As you get a bit older, you hit that 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old high risk taking, exposure to alcohol and other drugs type things. Falls can still happen, but in different ways.
Okay.
You can fall, doing the right thing. You can fall getting some physical activity, playing some sport, going for a run, but a fall is still a fall and you can still be injured and hurt. Hopefully it's not too serious. And in the 15 to 39-year-old, it's probably less likely to result in a fatality or a serious hospitalisation, but it can still lead to, a broken limb or something that requires you to go to an emergency department, maybe a short stay in hospital. So they can happen. As you get a bit older, you might need to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. If you get up in the dark and you've, got a messy room and there's things scattered all over the floor, maybe you've had a drink or two, you might just fall in your bedroom, hit your limb or hit a head on something in your bedroom that causes an injury. So there's a whole bunch of ways that demographic can be affected by a fall. And it's a demographic that generally we're at our fittest and we're at our strongest and we sort of consider ourselves pretty bulletproof.
Yeah.
But in that demographic, if there is something that's going to send you to hospital because you're generally fairly physically fit and healthy, it can be these sudden injurious impacts that is the thing that causes you ill health.
Yeah.
So it's important, even though we sort of think that we're not going to be injured, it's important to remember that we can be,
yeah.
But most importantly, I guess the message that I'd like your listeners to know is they can all be prevented.
Yeah,
we just need to pay attention and do what we can.
Absolutely. Well, I think this is an issue that no matter what age we are, it obviously affects all of us. Russ, thank you so much for joining us on Fitter Happier on the Mag.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.